Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Partial in the law is the title of our study today. Partial in the law. And it applies to the priests who were only keeping part of the law and not the whole law. All right, Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Now let's explain a little of this as we read today, okay? The Lord says you need to give glory to my name. And if you don't, I'm gonna send a curse, and I'm going to curse your blessings. As a matter of fact, I've already done it, because you won't lay to heart what I'm saying. And he says, and after that, I'm going to corrupt your seed, and I'm going to spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. In other words, during a sacrifice, whenever an animal was killed, there were certain parts that were put on the altar to sacrifice, and there were other parts that were then hauled off outside of the camp and put on a pile of ashes where there was, you know, a smoldering fire to burn up all the other stuff. The dung went out with the stuff that had to be burned outside. It wasn't put on the altar. And you know what the Lord said? I'm going to put the dung on your faces, then we're going to send you outside and burn you out there with the rest of that stuff out there. About that you talk about, that is really profane. But he says in verse 4, you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, and that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now this is going to refer back to the choosing of Levi, and then the choosing of Aaron for, you know, keeping the sanctuary and performing the function of the priesthood. Do you remember when the Jews were out in the wilderness? In Exodus 32, Aaron convinced them to worship a golden calf. And when Moses caught them, he says, who is on the Lord's side? Because there were some people who had done some abominable things, and they needed to die that day, 3,000 to be exact. They'd had an orgy out there, worshiping this statue and calling it God. So Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? And the Levites stepped across the line. So he said, all right, you are gonna kill your brethren that did these wicked things, and then God chose those Levites to serve his sanctuary. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Verse 5. Verse 6, Malachi 2. The law of truth was in his mouth, and that's because everything was given to him to follow. The iniquity was not found in his lips, so what he said was right according to God's words. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. The Levites then were responsible, and the priests were responsible for teaching the people certain things and keep them away from sin. And then when they did sin, they offered sacrifice to get back in a, you know, right relationship with the Lord. Verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. So he had to be a source of good information about the law whenever people had an inquiry. for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. What happened? He said, instead of people being able to come to you and get a message from the Lord, they've come to you and you've caused them to stumble at the law. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi. So I'm making you contemptible. I'm making you base before all the people. Because you haven't kept my ways. You've only kept what you wanted to keep, and you wouldn't keep the other part. Verse 10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now that's a question that Malachi asks. Look, you said you're like me and I'm like you. We've got the same Father. We have the same God. So why you, priest, why do you deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? In other words, when the priest did this, it brought torment onto the people. Good question. Now, this particular passage is addressed to the priests as a rebuke because they had failed to keep the covenant of Levi. See, the priests were supposed to teach the people the law. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and you'll see that they had dropped the ball on that. Look at verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. Well, whose fault was that? The priests. You say the kings. Well, the kings were wicked, but I'll tell you, Jehoiada, the priest, kept Josiah, when he was young, in line, or Joash in line. He was the one that got him, you know, oriented properly. Well, it was the priest's fault, without the true God, without a teaching priest, without law. See, they were supposed to be teaching the people, and they weren't doing it. They were supposed to keep the holy place from being profane. Look in Ezekiel 44. In other words, they were supposed to make sure that everything in and around the holy place was kept holy, and everything in it that wasn't supposed to be there was kept out of it. But boy, you go back there and you look at all the stuff that was in the temple when Josiah came to the throne, when Hezekiah came to the throne, it was filled with junk. It took them weeks sometimes to clean all the junk out of there that didn't belong. Even in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, there were people in there that did not belong, and they had to throw them out. You say, what was the problem? The problem is that they brought into the sanctuary things that weren't supposed to be there, as Ezekiel 44:7, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And ye have not kept the charge of my holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. These things, he said, hey guys, this was supposed to be for me, but you found a way to make a convenient living off of this thing. Now you put people in there to keep charge of the stuff for you. So God said, you know what, I'm not happy about that at all. They were supposed to sacrifice to the Lord only. Well, it didn't take them any time at all that they got away from that. Solomon brought in these false gods of the wives he married, and his son took the two southern tribes, and Jeroboam, his servant, took the 10 northern tribes, and in no time Jeroboam had the whole country worshiping false gods. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 31. He had them worshiping false gods, and then he appointed the wrong priest, not Levites. Okay, 1 Kings 12, 31, he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. That would be the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the one it's like. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places, which he had made, man-made priests. Look in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 32. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 32, many, many, many years later. Now, foreigners are occupying the 10 northern tribes because they've been already taken out of there by Sennacherib and Shalmaneser. And what do we have in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 32? So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, Malachi years later was still pointing out to the Jews. You guys, you are supposed to sacrifice to the Lord only, and not only that, you sacrifice to false gods, but you let men who aren't supposed to be priests do this work. And these priests were supposed to be righteous. Look in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 10. These priests were supposed to be righteous. Jeremiah 23, 10. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Oh, boy. So they weren't righteous at all. They had turned to wickedness. They were very much like Eli was, the fat man that sat down in the tabernacle of the Lord when there was no sitting furniture, whose sons profaned. They took more than they were entitled to in the sacrifices of the Lord, and they slept with the women that came to sacrifice there. Jeremiah 32:32. This stuff had been going on all through the history of Israel, and God just had enough of it. Jeremiah 32:32. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. God said, you know, folks, this is the two southern tribes. He says, folks, it's like a leprosy. It's taken the whole body. You guys aren't doing right, you're doing evil. But the problem is, they had not kept his ways, except only in part. They kept the part they wanted to keep, and the part they didn't want to keep, they didn't keep. So God made them contemptible. I mean, just look what the priests were doing when Paul showed up. Just look what the priests were doing in Jesus' day. They violated the law. Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees and to the chief priests and to the elders. He said, devour these widows' houses. You like those salutations in the marketplace where they call you master and rabbi and stuff like that. You like the chief seats in the uppermost rooms there. That's what you like. And violating the law, they had made none effect the commandments of God so that they could keep their own tradition. What else did they do? They made the house of God a den of thieves. The Lord said, this is supposed to be a house of prayer, quoting Jeremiah chapter 7, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Why? Because they were living well off of the ministry at the expense of doing right by the people who were supposed to sacrifice there. They were breaking the Sabbath. You know, they jumped out Jesus the entire time about breaking the Sabbath. And I've told you this before, but when the Lord entered Jerusalem, he entered one day. I'm talking about his triumphal entry now. He entered one day, and then what he did is he left that day after he first came into the city, went back to Bethany, spent the evening with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and then he came back to Jerusalem the next day, and that next day was a Sabbath. It was a Saturday, not Palm Sunday, and it wasn't Friday, it was a Saturday. And when he went in there, those guys were selling, exchanging, buying. And the Lord said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm done here, boy. And he flipped the tables and he got rid of the money changers. And that's it, boys. What? Because if you read Ezra and you read Nehemiah, you will find out that they were not supposed to be buying or selling anything on the Sabbath day. And they knew it. Now that explains why the Pharisees and the chief priests and elders did not accuse Jesus at his trial of breaking the Sabbath. They didn't present that evidence when they brought the false witnesses because it wouldn't hold up. They were accusing him of something that they had gotten caught red-handed doing themselves. And they were burdening the people. They put on the people, more than the people were supposed to handle. So it was just a corrupt, terrible thing going on with the priesthood in the days of Jesus and in the days of Paul. Paul, you know, Paul was instructed to be slapped by the chief priest during his answer and his own defense, contrary to the law. And when Paul pointed this out, they just said, "Don't you know that he's the high priest? As if, you know, you're not supposed to revile the ruler of thy people, so shut up." But he was breaking the law. It was an unjust act on the part of the priest. Now, as a result of this, during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sons of Zadok will minister before the Lord, but not the other Levites, because of the way they profaned the sanctuary. Look in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 9. Ezekiel 44, verse 9. "Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Ye shall have just balances, and a just ephah, and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, that the bath may contain the tenth part of an homer, and the ephah the tenth part of an omer. The measure thereof shall be after the homer. And the shekel shall be 20 gerahs." I'm reading Ezekiel 45. You're probably wondering, what in the world are you doing? I started reading that and I thought, I know where this is supposed to go, but it's not getting there very fast. It did remind me, though, you know, when he's having to instruct them on the just ephah and the just gerah and all that stuff, those guys, when they were exchanging money in the temple, you can be sure they were cheating on the amount they were weighing out when they were exchanging the money. You can just be sure of it, because the Lord's having to instruct them here for the millennial reign to keep it just. All right, Ezekiel 44, verse 9. "Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charges at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed." In other words, I'm keeping them outside to do the dirty work. "But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge." Why? Because they kept it and ministered unto him when everybody else was going into apostasy. Okay, now that's what you have for a doctrinal application in Malachi chapter 2, but let's make some application to today. Because, you know, today we have a lot of people worldwide running around saying that they are priests. And here's a good measure of the priesthood right here. God lays out some things for you and says, okay, if you're a priest, these are the things you should be doing. Let's look at them. Let's see how they fare today. And basically what you're going to see is these men that call themselves priests today, they don't fare well at all, is what you're going to see. I mean, look at it. First thing they're supposed to do is bring glory to my name in verse 2. To give glory to my name. And you know something? They don't do that. You say, well, they do. No. Two things are wrong with that. Number one, if you say the name is God, they take a wafer of bread, called a host, called the Eucharist. They hold it up in front of a congregation of people. They make the congregation of people bow before this particular thing. They have to kneel before it and bow before it. And they are told that they must profess that that piece of bread is their Lord and their God. That's right. He blesses that host and raises it up like that. And they say, just like Thomas said to Jesus Christ when he saw him in the flesh, "My Lord and my God." Now that is not bringing glory to God's name. Furthermore, the highest name known among men is Jesus Christ. For there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Do you understand? The name, the highest name is the name Jesus Christ. So what is Mary doing in the mix? She is not the redemptrix. She is not the mediatrix. She is, her soul is alive, but her body is still dead in the grave. She has not had an assumption. She did not have an immaculate conception. Those things are all, that's all a figment of man's imagination. There's no glory to God in any of that. That is not, that is wrong, see? That's a mess is what that is. All right, number two, they're supposed to be from the tribe of Levi, verse 4. My covenant might be with Levi. Now, these guys that profess to be priests today in Greek Orthodox churches and Roman Catholic churches, they are no more from the tribe of Levi than a man in the moon. They are not Levitical priests, the sons of Aaron. These priests that call themselves priests today are like Jeroboam's priests. They worship at altars in the high places. I don't know how many cities you've been to where Catholic churches are, but that's always the prominent place, particularly in Europe, how many times we've been to small cities, and the church is the high place with the high steeple spire. And the priests that are in there are just like Jeroboam's priests. They offer sacrifices and offerings, and they are not from the tribe of Levi. All right, the next thing about a priest is they are to fear God, verse 5. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. And these men don't fear God. They fear the Pope, and they fear the Archbishop and the hierarchical tradition of the church, but not God. Now, I realize what I'm about to tell you is not indicative of every priest that's ever been, okay? I understand that. But I'm speaking now from experience, both personally and from the experience of a fishing guide that's a friend of mine. I went fishing on one occasion with a guide here in the area, and he said, we got talking about the Lord, got talking about his salvation, and he said, you know something that's interesting? He said, the most filthy-mouthed people that I have ever taken fishing, that are clients of mine, they come down here once a year to fish. They are Catholic priests. He said, bar none, I have nobody that fishes with me that cusses as much or as vehemently as these guys cuss. Now, I told you, what I just said is not indicative of all Catholic priests. I understand that. But those guys don't fear God. They fear man. And I'll tell you, it's instilled into their people. I get around a lot, you know that, visiting with folks and having been in the banking business, doing different things, you know, in the ministry and socializing, trying to get to know folks. I hear the name of God taken in vain regularly, just out and about. And I'm going to tell you, the people, without fail, that take the name of God in vain more than any other group of people are people that grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. They're just following the lead of these two guys I was telling you about, the fish with the guide. I mean, not just that they know these guys, but I'm telling you, that's the way it is. God, it is okay for them to invoke the name of God and to say, God, you know, damn this and damn that. They just use it freely, okay? I hear it all the time. Now, you say something bad about their priest, or say something bad about Mary, or say something bad about their church, or something bad about the Pope, and they will wring your neck. You know what that is? That's the fear of man. That's not the fear of God. All right, the next thing is the law should be at his lips. Look at verses 6 and 7. Iniquity was not found in his lips. And verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. Have you ever gone to a Catholic priest or a Greek Orthodox priest to study Bible? I don't mean catechism. I don't mean the doctrines of the church. I don't mean tradition. I mean go to him and ask him to locate scripture for you by memory based upon questions that you have concerning the Bible or the words of God or something about God. They can't do it. I went to the seminary as a 14-year-old boy, or 13, whatever it was, 1 year, and it was preparatory work to train to be a priest. And while I was there, honestly, I was there a full school year. We looked in the Missal, and we looked in the Catechism, but we never one time in the entire time that I was there opened a Bible one time. And I'm talking about back in the days when the Bible was being still taught in the public schools. In some of them. I mean, they'd kicked it out of there, you know, right around that time. There were some of them, you're still getting Bible. Not there. The Bible is only used to prove the doctrines of man in the church, but the doctrines are not Bible doctrines. God never said anything about a wafer being my Lord and my God. All right. Next thing in verse 8, if he was really a priest, he wouldn't cause people to stumble. You have caused people to or many to stumble at the law. And that thing is nothing but a stumbling block. I led a fellow to the Lord that grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. And he got mad. I've told you about him before. And I asked him why he was mad. He said he was mad because he said if I had continued to follow the doctrine of the church, I'd have wound up in hell. They were causing him to stumble. I led another fellow and his wife to the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to come to church with you for a while. I'm going to go back to the Catholic church. I'm going to try to lead my Catholic family members to the Lord. About 6 months later, he started coming to church again. I said, what's the problem? He said, impossible. Impossible to lead them to the Lord in there. They have to come out of there because the guy's causing them to stumble. And verse 9, they would not be partial in the law. That was the trouble with the priest here. They would not be partial in the law. He says, you have been partial in the law. And listen, they keep some of it, and then they add tradition of equal authority to the Bible, to the law. That's partiality. You understand? So you got a real problem here. If you were to qualify the priest today based just upon what you're reading in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, they fail. And the reason is there is no Levitical priesthood for people in Christianity, period. You are a priest yourself. That's called the doctrine of the priesthood of the believer, and Peter speaks of it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a royal priesthood. That means you get to offer spiritual sacrifices, like Hebrews 13 says, right directly to God. You don't need to go through a priest to confess your sins, and you get to pray directly to God, and he will hear your prayer and answer your prayer. There is absolutely no need for a priest in Christianity. Not one.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.